All right. All right. For the sake of everybody out here today, we're going to try to push through. So you guys in line, if you want to hear, just listen up, and we're going to try to get through the next passage. Just so you know, Keith doesn't make me choose my message for the day, but if I want to, I just fall in line with him and continue with the message. And so we're going to continue on with Psalms. The Psalms, admittedly, are not my favorite book. As a kid, you obviously want to hear all the fantastic stories, and that's the stuff that catches your imagination and starts making you pay attention. And I had to think about it long and hard. To be honest, I read Sun Tzu before I read the Bible. And if you know yourself, you'll win half your battles. And if you know the enemy, you'll win half your battles. And if you win all the rest of them, if you know everything, if you know both you and the other guy, you'll win all the rest of them. So if you wanted to, as a military man, start paying attention to whether or not you proceeded well in the world and started succeeding, you had to start paying attention to yourself, which meant you had to stop lying. Everything in there was tore up. And I couldn't come up with a man-made excuse as to why everything should be as it was in here. It just wasn't so. So as I came to a realization that something was missing, that you know, we're surrounded by atheists today that want to tell you that that ain't right, and they will justify it with, you can't prove it. And I'm like, but for you to say that what you're saying is so and believe it so fervently and want to push it on everybody, you got to believe. And so you're denying that core part of what it is to be human, which is that spirituality, that truth inside you that we all know, and yet somehow sociologically, nationally, culturally, we're all going to deny it and say somehow that's not right and turn our back on the truth. God gave it to you, and it's the truth, and you're going to turn your back on it because it's convenient. I wasn't any different. I mean, there was no animosity, but there was a clear-cut, undeniable heartlessness that you just couldn't turn your back on. I couldn't ignore it. Something was wrong. So allow me to move on to Psalm 5. Give ear to my words, O Lord. Consider my groaning. Give attention to the sound of my cry. My King and my God, for you to do I pray. O Lord, in the morning you hear my voice. In the morning I prepare a sacrifice for you and watch. For you are not a God who delights in wickedness. Evil may not dwell with you. The boastful shall not stand before your eyes. You hate all evildoers. You destroy all those who speak lies. The Lord abhors the bloodthirsty and deceitful man. But I, through the abundance of your steadfast love, will enter your house. I will bow down toward your holy temple in the fear of you. Lead me, O Lord, in your righteousness because of my enemies. Make your way straight before me, for there is no truth in their mouth. Their inmost self is destruction. Their throat is an open grave. They flatter with their tongue. They make them bear their guilt, O God. Let them fall by their own counsels. Because of an abundance of their transgressions, cast them out. For they have rebelled against you. But let all who take refuge in you rejoice. Let them ever sing for joy and spread your protection over them, that those who love your name may exalt in you. For you bless the righteous, O Lord. You cover him with favor, as with a shield. Dear God, please let this word reach people today. I am not the strongest speaker. I am not a perfect man. But you have sent me to preach your word, and I will do the best I can. In Jesus Christ's name I pray. All right. Let's cut to the chase here. As a Christian, I have to acknowledge the truth here. This is a fairly thematic passage. This is not uncommon. It happened all the time. And if you consider what was going on in the time period, this was a predictable, useful passage that would have been chopped up in pieces and used here and there to say good things about the beginning of your day. It was a morning prayer. Very important to these people. And if you were trying to start the day off right, you might have said this prayer. And if you were angry at somebody, you might have pointed out the things in which were going to go down. It was a way for you to acknowledge the power of God. So there's a time here. I mean, there's a point in the prayer where you have to say, "Listen to me, God. Listen to me. I'm thinking about something very deeply, and I'm asking you to do the same. I'm asking you to consider what I'm considering. I want you to be there with me and apply your mind and your thought and your will to what is ailing me." It's not a selfless prayer. In the morning, you hear my voice. In the morning, I prepare a sacrifice for you. We later found out that that was spoken for, that somebody stood in that stead. But he says, "And watch." He waits. He does the work. He sets the sacrifice in place. And he waits patiently for God. He's going to answer. In this man's mind, he is going to answer. The prayer is being spoken, and he believes it with all his heart. "For you are not a God who delights in wickedness. You hate all evildoers. Destroy those who speak lies. The Lord abhors a bloodthirsty and deceitful man." Heartless, I said, heartless. You guys remember that? Heartless. A bloodthirsty and deceitful man. I stood a long way away one time. I was in Korea. Annyeonghaseyo, Hanguk, Saram. I think I read the Psalms in a state of protection. I had to come to a truthfulness about what was going on in my heart. I could read any part of the Bible, but I had a problem with the Psalms. And that's because it's too much like a prayer. It's too much for me. It's too much for the person and God. You have to internalize that. And if you can't internalize that, and for a little, if you guys don't understand this, I'm a guy that nearly cries at every war movie I've ever watched. I can internalize. I can empathize. That's not the same thing. You have to be able to tell yourself that there's some buy-in here. And if you're not buying in, what are you wasting your time for? You have to be able to say, "This man believes this, and this is how it applies to me in my life." So, as an evil man, I used to take this Bible, and I might see the Psalms, but I can tell you, a long way off in the land of Korea, I spent 2 years there, a lot bad was going on in my life, and I finally got back. I'm approaching the plane, and I'm reading Psalm 91. I'm not going to ruin Psalm 91 for whoever covers it next, but the truth is, Psalm 91 is about shielding and strength and protection, and soldiers everywhere read it because it's, I'll be honest, I found it on a toilet lid. So I'm reading Psalm 91, and it's like, I realized it was like, it's raining. Better get under there. I'm getting on this plane because all I don't want to do is die in Korea. I just want to go home. That was my problem. I didn't realize what a problem was. That if I did die, I wasn't paying attention to what I needed to be paying attention to. I wasn't going to be able to get the message. "So through the abundance of your steadfast love, I will enter your house. I will bow down before your holy temple in fear of you." In fear of you. That was the part. I didn't do it. I never did it. I didn't want to do it. And I was openly, I told several pastors, I'm good. God's over there. I'm over here. We're good. So, and in fear of you, there were people in the promised land that were Gentiles. That's us. That's all of us. Every one of us. I don't think we have any Jewish people here today. It's not the end of the world. I'm just pointing out that we, for the most part, are Gentiles. That court, you guys remember when Jesus went in and tossed the tables with all the stuff? That was the court of the Gentiles. They had defiled it with the business of the day-to-day. And Jesus said, my house will be a house of prayer. The house of the Gentiles were filled with people called God-fearers. They were people who heard the message, who believed in spite of the fact that, according to Jewish literature, there just wasn't a place for you. The common, the powerful of the day were telling them, you're wasting your time here, but we're prepared to take your money. I don't think there's a place for you. He's our God, but we'll change money for you for your sacrifices. Well, that's what a God-fearer is. A man, in spite of all the evidence, in spite of all the stuff going on around him, realizes that there's a message above and greater than him. That it doesn't take a hat to stand between you and God. That God is that great, no matter what. And that greatness alone, because of your humanity, is what will drive your fear. He is everlasting. My daughter asked me the other day, how old is God? He made the world. How old is God? And I told her, God was in the beginning, and he was in the end. He is ageless and will be forever and ever. God is the way. He is the law. He is the truth. And that is the entirety of what you take from this. If you don't bow down to God, you're missing something so much greater than just whether or not you're going to be ready for make it across the pond. I really wanted to get home. I'm not kidding. I was terrified. I had nothing going right in my life. And so I thought maybe a little Bible scripture would help. It might have, but not the way I was doing it, I promise you. This was an umbrella. It wasn't a Bible. So for there is no truth in their mouth, their inmost self is destruction, their throat is an open grave. They flatter with their tongue. Make them bear their guilt, O God, and let them fall by their own counsels. Not only did I fall by my own counsels, not only did I come back to America, but I came back to America to failure after failure after failure. I did everything right, and it was lined up for me to do wrong. I mean, I was the epitome of the law. I was paying attention to everything I needed to do, crossing my T's and dotting my I's, and everything went wrong. That's not a promise. This is not a promise that everything is going to be okay. It's a promise that you understand that when everything goes wrong, you have the means to bear through. It's not greater than you. God is. God is going to be there. The failure was me. My heart was in the wrong place, and it was broken. I was broken. I had to come to grips with what I had done. I'll get into that someday. It's a long and painful, crude story. But the truth is, I'm not perfect. And so when I stand before you and tell you that God is asking you to come, it's not because I've got it all together. It's because for the first time in my life, God said, this is how it is. And I said, I'll stop sinning. You know, they love the story where you come and they rub the salve on the eyes and she's healed. Or he's healed, I forget. And they come and he can't walk, and so he says, stand up. Stand up and walk. They always forget the next part. Anybody remember that next part? And sin no more. And I'm not saying that this is that there's a hammer waiting on you. Pop. I am telling you that my life and my actions were directly responsible for why I was not listening, not hearing, and otherwise just a cold and a harmful person. So when I tell you that you got to do that, it's not cause I want to beat you with this book. I don't want to beat you with this umbrella. A lot of people study this book and aren't going to get a doggone thing out of it. I'm telling you that once you decide you're going to open up your heart to Christ, you're going to have to be honest with yourself. You're going to have to know the first enemy. And back to Sun Tzu, you're going to have to know whether or not you're the enemy. You got to know yourself first. Then you know the other guy. Then you're going to win some. It's very simple. And this is not a prosperity gospel. I'm telling you that you have to stop lying to yourself, and then you can move forward. Sun Tzu never mentioned that when you start knowing yourself, that hey, you might find out that first enemy was on the front line right here. So there is no truth in their mouth. They, thematically speaking, this is pretty standard in the Bible. This is not uncommon. The Bible, the Lord's Prayer is the same way. It goes through, and it was chopped up and used. Not one word of the Lord's Prayer that Jesus Christ uttered was not used in some form or passage somewhere else in the Bible. He was an educated man, and by that I mean a rabbinical in nature. And he knew how to speak to the people. This would have been a way to speak to the people. For those of you got my daughter helped me get to my page today. I'm sorry. So this was a rabbinical passage that would have been used, chopped up and used here and there. But do you want to know who else used this passage? The Pharisees. The Pharisees, they walked in every day and said some of these same words and stood in front of the temple and said, give ear to my words, O Lord, consider my groaning, because it was a song. Whip that thing back, walk in, and shut it behind them without so much as a consideration for whatever was going out into the Gentile courtyard. Pay attention to that. Pay attention to yourself. And then the following. But let all who take refuge in you rejoice. Let them ever sing for joy and spread your protection over them, that those who love your name may exalt in you. For you bless the righteous, O Lord. You cover him with favor as with a shield. He will. He'll do it. But not if you're treating this like an umbrella. You've got to actually open your heart. You've got to actually look at yourself and take heart in what you've done, that is not going to be held against you for the rest of your life, that God's mercy is that great. As a God-fearer, that he is that glorious and that great. Never ending. He was there in the beginning. He was there in the end. And he will be there forevermore. Dear God, thank you for letting me share this with them today. Please help everybody on their way home. And please allow my words to go out to everybody and help someone. In Jesus Christ's name I pray. Amen.